Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brother Kenneth Copeland.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lynn. Woo! Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whoa. Man, we had a time around here today in the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. If you weren't able to be here today, be sure and get the tapes, CDs, DVDs, whatever you can get. Get it on. Praise God. You need it. It was outstanding. Praise God. And it was amazing to me. It always amazes me. We come together in these conventions, and I have watched the Spirit of God do this the whole 40 years I've been in the ministry, and it just really blesses me when you have a group of people come together and you got several ministers that walk and are and you know really closely with the Spirit of God. And we don't get together and say, okay, now you preach on this scripture till you get up here and then cut it off there and then the other one. No. In fact, we hadn't even had the opportunity to say hello to one another. And I thought Bill Winston's going to preach what I was going to preach tonight. Amen. And I wouldn't have cared if he had. Praise God. But just to watch the supernatural flow of the Holy Ghost all day, day in, day out. Well, hallelujah. Don't miss any of these services. I'm telling you, God is doing something. He's working on something, praise God. And you don't want to miss it. It's a good thing. So even if you can't, if you're where you can't be here, I'm telling you, get the tapes of the thing and study it and study it and study it. Go over it and over it and over it. Praise the Lord. And build into your spirit what God is doing with His Word. Hallelujah. Father, we just give You praise and thanksgiving tonight. We worship You in the name of Jesus. And we thank You. We thank You for committing Yourself to be among us and to help us and to strengthen us and to heal us and anything else that we need. And we just give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, in the morning service, by direction of the Holy Ghost, the morning congregation pull together as one body in Christ Jesus. And we put the stop on that Hurricane Dean thing. So, now, let me tell you the scriptures that the Lord instructed us to stand on so those of you that weren't here can agree and join in with us. Jesus said when He was on the earth, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to My Father." And we announced by faith that we are aware of the fact that He went to the Father. Amen. So that scripture then is in force. And one of the things that He did while He was on earth, He spoke the Word of God to violent storms. He spoke specifically to the wind, and He spoke to the water, to the lake. Amen. So we acted on that, and together we spoke to the wind, and we spoke to the sea. Amen. And commanded the thing to be still. Praise God. So let's just give the Lord praise that the angels of God are working in that thing right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we praise You. We praise You. We praise You for authority. Authority in this earth. Praise God. And we give you praise and honor, and we glorify the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. If this is something that's new to you, get in the New Testament, study it, read it, praise the Lord. All of these kind of manifestations in the earth have been put under the authority of the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So, it's not a matter of why did God let that storm blow my barn down. It's not a matter of Him letting the storm blow your barn down. You let the storm blow your barn down. He's given authority over to the body of Christ in His name. Amen. Of course, it has to be based in fear. But they're just a little bit self-conscious about standing out in the backyard talking to a storm. Man, I'm not. That's my house. Amen. Hallelujah. Just get out there and shout and scream and holler it as loud as you can. Oh, yeah. The thing will hear you. And that's right down the line of what we're going to be talking about all this week. And I'll tell you, by the end of this week, there ain't no storm would dare come nigh your dwelling. Praise God. Amen. Before you're seated tonight, turn around and shake hands with at least three people and say, thank God for His Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. Let's receive our evening offering. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul was teaching the church at Corinth how to correctly receive and conduct themselves in the receiving and in the administration of an offering. And he taught them a number of things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I want you to notice let's look at verse 7. Now, when you, if you're taking notes or so forth, the main thrust of this 8th and 9th chapters in his talking about the receiving, how to believe God, how to believe God for the harvesting of the seed that you sow in an offering. The key word here is grace. And so we're only going to be reading and pointing at several verses here, but you need to go and read these whole chapters. And make a note here of the 112th Psalm, because he quoted the 112th Psalm, so you need to go back and study that. The 112th Psalm is the Bible definition of an Old Testament prosperous believer. And in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians is the New Testament picture of a New Testament prosperous believer, which is just as prosperous as the Old Testament plus some. Amen. So you need to study both those. Now, the 7th verse, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So now you can tell from what he said there that these things that they were abounding in, they were abounding in them through the grace of God. And he said, you need to learn to abound in this grace also. Now let me ask you something about the word abound. When somebody says abound, I mean, is this the picture that comes to mind to you? I am not abounding. No. I'm just going to whiz on over there. No, that's not abounding. Amen. Now, look at that. He said, abound in this grace also. So they were abounding in certain things that they'd already learned from him. But now here was something they were not abounding in. And he said, you need to be studying this and you need to be meditating in this and all of the things that we do where the word is concerned when it comes to abounding in something you learn from the word. You can abound in salvation and not know a thing in the world about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and not abound in that at all. Isn't that true? Well, yeah. But the more you receive from the word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then as you study it and as you meditate on it and as you become determined to abound in that grace also, then the Spirit of God will reveal it to you. And the more revelation that you have in it, the more bountiful you are and the more you abound in that grace. Now let's see what he's talking about here. Look at the 9th verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. Now he said you need to abound in that also. Hallelujah. Abounding in that. How do you abound in something that's from the Word of God? Well, in the first place, you believe it. You say, well, that's what God said in his Word. Then I'm planning on abounding in that. Praise God. I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus, and I am determined to abound in that grace because he said I should. And then you begin to look for the elements of that revelation in the Word. We know sowing is an element in it. We know harvesting is an element in it. We know the angels have a part to play and all that kind of thing. Well, that comes from study, doesn't it? And that's really what this 8th and 9th chapter is about. So he'll tell you in these two chapters how to do that, how to abound in that grace. So now let's go on over to the 9th chapter. And this is the picture here now of someone that is abounding in that grace also. Are you following me so far here now? In this 9th chapter, I want you to look at the 6th verse. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully. Well, a bountiful heart will abound. See, those words go together, don't they? Now, he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man. Now, what every man is that in the 7th verse? That's the he in the 6th verse. So this is spiritual law. It'll work for anyone that'll put it to work. It's not some special grace to some special person somewhere. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. There's no such thing as a special grace for a special person. All of the grace of God is special, and all of His people are special. Amen. He is no respecter of persons, praise God. I had somebody said, tell another person one time, said, well, now, you know, that Copeland said, now, you know, God has given him a special faith. And he said, he's given him special faith? Yeah. Said, he's got some kind of special faith. He said, what kind of special faith is he's got? He said, every once in a while, God will give somebody that special faith. They couldn't be afraid if they tried. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Well, I found out how, by grace, to get rid of fear. Amen. But it's not some kind of special faith. It's just faith that you do what the Bible said. Perfected love casteth out fear.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. No such thing as some special person having some special thing from God. No. Everything he has is special. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, notice this. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, our giving, in order for us to abound and walk in this bounty that he's speaking of, our giving then needs to have purpose. Our purpose should be God's plans, His purposes, and His pursuits.
That's right. That's right.
You don't just make your plans, what you think looks pretty good and sounds pretty good to you, and then go beg God to bless it. No, you're going to be disappointed somewhere down the line.
Amen.
But if you get over on His plans, they're already blessed. I mean, they're blessed to the max. So you can walk in His plans and His pursuits and His purposes. Now, when you make that the purpose of your sowing, that's the purpose of your giving. I remember how I was raised. My grandfather, I would spend a large part of my summers every year with my grandfather. He was a farmer and rancher in West Texas, up in the panhandle of Texas. And he farmed a lot of land. He had a section of land up there, and he farmed wheat and cotton, and then he had cattle. He was doing a lot of things. Now, he had purpose in his farming. He wasn't farming just because he liked to see wheat grow. He had purpose in that. That's what he did. You understand? And if you ask him what he did, that's what he'd tell you. He wouldn't tell you he's a farmer. He said, I'm a cotton grower. I'm a cotton producer. Amen. Now that, to him, that was his purpose. That's what he was out to do. That's the way his life was sustained financially. And so he had purpose in his sowing that seed. He wasn't just out there, you know, just fooling around or had a little patch out behind the house. He wasn't doing this for fun. He had fun doing it. He loved it. But I don't know, I couldn't ever figure out why. But anyway, he loved it. But he had purpose in his sowing. Now, let me give you this. You can understand this very quickly when you think about it. Because of not understanding, in the first place, because not understanding we were supposed to abound in this grace in the first place, then we were easy prey for the devil, and we fell off into a lot of religious practices that choked us financially instead of causing us to abound. And we allowed preachers, different people to create on the spot in a service our purpose for giving. That is extremely shallow. You don't abound in any kind of purpose or grace when all the purpose you have is whatever somebody announces from the pulpit and then starts beating you over the head trying to get you to give something in it. That's not heart purpose. That's just some kind of shallow head purpose. But when you get before God and you say, look, you're my life. You're everything to me. My financial life is based in you. It's not based from what I do and what I'm employed at. No. My purpose is to support you, Lord. My purpose is to support the kingdom of God. Now, I want to know where you desire for me to plant my funds. I want to know what your purpose is. I want to head where you're going. I want to go where you're going. That's where the blessing is. And that's my purpose. And then get quiet before the Lord and listen to Him. Don't just decide you're going to give a little something in the offering at church and just become a bucket plunker. You're not abounding in any kind of revelation at all. Well, you won't abound financially either. Now, I didn't say maybe you weren't making a lot of money, but that's not abounding. That's just gathering up. The Word says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Now, if you're gathering up some way outside of the blessing of the Lord, then everything you're gathering up already has sorrow in it. It's just out there. It's out there in the curse. But when the blessing becomes the source and the grace of God becomes the source, that grace is the flow of His blessing even after we messed it up. That's what the grace of God is. So when you get... When you're in that flow and the blessing of the Lord is prospering you and adding to you, it doesn't have any sorrow to it. And it satisfies all of your wants. He's my shepherd. I do not want. Amen. You gather up a bunch of stuff that got sorrow in it, it won't satisfy your heart. And you'd be instantly looking for more. Amen. So, purpose is a big thing there. Big thing. Find out what His purpose is. Be determined. Follow Him. You know what happens when you do that? Read on down here and it'll show you. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of a necessity. Don't let people put pressure on you about your giving. You keep control of your emotions in the Word. There may be somebody, that's just putting all kinds of pressure out there. And I'm not ruling out the fact that maybe God wants you to put something in it. But don't do it because you got pressure put on you. Do it because the Word of the Lord said for you to do it. Get it in here. Settle that purpose in you and become peaceful about it. Now what happens, you become a cheerful giver. Because that's satisfying in your heart when you have purpose before the Lord. And you and God got a thing going. I tell you what, it's big. It's a big thing. And notice what He said. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not one that watches the usher just as long. Because there goes the rent money right there just as sure. Oh, Lord. No, that's not cheerful giver. Amen. And if you're not a cheerful giver tonight, don't put anything in this offering. I don't want your grumpy money. Amen. I'm not after your money anyway. I'm trying to get money to you. I'm not trying to get money from you. Amen. Now, oh, Lord. I was thinking of some people that were not cheerful givers that just came up in front of me. Oh, praise God. Well, all that bunch down there wants is your money. Well, that's all Walmart wants is your money. Oh.
So get on my back with that. Praise God. Amen. I'm tired of people chasing that old dog through my meetings. Well, anyway, here we go. Amen. No, just stay in the Word. You'll get cheerful. And when you get cheerful, then God's grace begins to abound towards you. When that grace is abounding, whoo, son. Yeah, things work right. Amen. Now then, look at this 8th verse. God is able. Now, he's not just able, he's willing. If he wasn't willing, he ain't no use to tell you that he's able. Amen. But his causing grace to abound towards you is what he's talking about to start with here. He just gave you the conditions, the environment in which grace abounds and works. So if you get in there and flow with it, then that grace is going to flow with you. It'll abound towards you. Now notice what he said. God is able to make all grace, all of it, abound towards you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's God's idea of a abounding believer. Amen. Now that's what the Apostle Paul was telling these people. Here you have invested in this offering. Now if you'll do these things, here's what God has planned for this whole church. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Abound, 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 bounty, 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 abound, abound, abound. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, man. Yeah. That's good thing. That's good stuff. Now, you can do this. A little child can do this. I've watched my children come up with doing this. I've watched my grandchildren do this from birth. They abound in the grace of God. You know why? They think they're supposed to. They are. And they're very prosperous. You know why they're prosperous? Because things like, I can't afford that, that's not even in their vocabulary. If they came in and said, Daddy, I want a new bicycle, I'd say, fine, wonderful. It's all right with me. You know how to get it. Whoa. Amen. What have you got to sow? And when the kids were young, and they still practice this today, and I would say, you got a picture of this bicycle or whatever it was, I believe, or you got a picture of it? Go get it. I want to see it. I want to know what I'm agreeing to here. And they, you know, pick, well, right here. Well, is that the best one? Well, no, this one over here, whoa, this is the best one. Why ain't we believing for this? Man, you know, it costs money. Hey, we're talking about grace here. You understand? Amen. We're not talking about what you can afford. We're not talking about what you now have. We're talking about what faith will produce if you get over on the Word of God and obey this regimen right here. It will produce that just as quick as it will a cheap one. Now get off that cheap and let's get over here on quality. Well, that comes out of religion. We've been told for years that God would be mad at you if you wanted anything except the cheapest thing they got. I'm going to show you some things about this tonight. This is not my message. This is an offering. But it is so flowing down what the Lord has told me to bring you into tonight. But you need to, let me ask you this. This is going to be in my message. So you'll get this twice, I guess. over in the book of Hebrews, talking about Israel in the desert, was he grieved with them because they were asking him for too much?
No.
No. He was grieved with them because they wouldn't receive what he offered.
That's right.
They came out of slavery. There's poor folks. And here he brought them out of Egypt, made them rich in one day, and they came out of there with much silver and gold and wealth and riches, but a whole generation of them, he couldn't get Egypt out of them. They stayed poor for 40 years. Amen. So he was not grieved with them because they were demanding too much. He was grieved with them because they wouldn't receive anything. Well, okay, here we go. Now, let's read on here, because this is the part that I need you to see. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. That's the 112th Psalm. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and he ministers the multiplying of your seed sown, and he ministers the increase of the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now notice, this is a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ministers seed to the sower. He ministers bread for the eater. He ministers the multiplying of the seed sown. Then he ministers the enrichment of the increase of his righteousness in you and in your life. Now all of that is under his present day ministry as Lord and High Priest of the church. Now, in this offering tonight, if you don't have any seed to sow, I found this out when I absolutely did not have a dime. Now, I learned this. I found out about it. Well, I saw then, when I first got sight of it, I was a student at Oral Roberts University, and I first got sight of the fact that I was already a rich man because I found this out in the Word. It wasn't nothing but a matter of time until it could manifest and the bounty would abound towards me. But I had to do my part. I wouldn't let an offering get away from me. I'd pull a button off my shirt or something. I'd put something in there. I became a partner with Oral Roberts Ministry. I was on the flight crew. I was flying at that time. I was driving. I was his driver also. And that first partner meeting that I was part of, and my goodness, I saw it, man. I've become a partner with this ministry. Then the same anointing that's on him is going to flow to me. This is abounding grace. This is what this whole thing, that's what he was teaching these people. That's what he taught the church at Philippi. And I came running home just as fast as I could. I put a wooden pencil in the offering and let it represent $10 a month because I didn't have any money. But there was a woman chased me down after the service was over with and gave me $10, and I ran the usher down and got my pencil back out and put the $10 in there. And so God provided my seed to sow. How did he do that? One of his ministers ministered that $10 to me, then I had seed to sow. Well, see, now I can tell you how to do that. Back then, I was just going at it every way I could figure out, but I didn't know much. But it still worked. And I came home and told Gloria we were partners with Oral Roberts for $10 a month. She looked at me, her face kind of fell. She said, Kenneth, where are we ever going to get $10 a month? Well, I heard the message. She didn't. So I set her down and preached that partner service to her. Praise the Lord. And I told her, I said, Gloria, we can have this man's anointing for $10 a month. I mean, I thought, I don't care where I have to get $10 a month. I got to have this. Amen. Well, God provided that. It was so amazing. He provided that seed every month. Only he didn't provide, the only time that he ever provided it as a $10 provision was the very first time. All of the rest, and it came supernaturally month after month after month. It was always 20. 10 for us and 10 for all. I thought that was nice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's the way these things work. Gloria and I still live very circumspectly, very carefully on these same principles. These are the principles of our lives. This has produced for this ministry for 40 years now. Amen. Amen. And it's abounding, and we're abounding, and we're still abounding. Now, there's times that it looked like disaster was abounding greater than the grace was abounding. But doesn't the Word say where sin does abound, grace does much more abound? You just stay with it. Grace will overcome it. Grace will overflow it. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have a high priest, and he's ministering to you. He's ministering. So now, if you don't have it to give, then go before Jesus, your high priest, and say, Lord, I see that in your word. You will minister seed to me. I need seed to sow. I need to get this process going. And I believe tonight I receive it. And I thank you for it. I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it to come. I'm telling you right now, it'll come a jumping to you. Huh? Isn't that abounding? It'll come a jumping at you, man. It'll come so quick, it'll make your head swim. Well, now don't go off and buy a new pair of shoes with it. That's stupid. Don't eat your seed. Sow it. Amen. Amen. If there's situations in your life, whatever they are, maybe you've been sowing. It's time for harvest. It's time for multiplying of your seed. You said, thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to the multiplication. Praise God. I don't have my eyes on that seed anymore. I got my eyes on the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, listen up. This is big. In many cases, this is the missing element. Who are you? In your own mind and in your thinking, are you just somebody that always needs seed to sow? Or you're always needing the multiplication of your seed? No, no, no. No. You start out as one who needs seed ministered to you. But where's the purpose and the willingness of your heart? I am willing to be the minister of someone else's seed. I'm willing to be that. I am willing, Lord Jesus, and I put myself in your hands to be the multiplier of somebody's seed. I'll be the tool in your hand. I'll be the minister under your command. Amen. And I'll help another one. See, there's always somebody that's coming up behind you. You're asking for seed. They may be asking for food. Amen. Amen. So you're receiving seed, but you can help them with food. Now then, someone ministers the multiplication of the seed that you sowed. Now you can help someone with seed. And it just comes on up the line. And in doing so, the whole body of Christ is prospered. And everybody comes up. Everybody comes alive. Everybody is walking in the bounty of God. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord praise and thanksgiving for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, Father, we receive this offering tonight, and I'm asking you, sir, to reveal to each person what their place is, what their part is in the finances of this convention and in the outreaches of this ministry and all of the things that are going on around the world. And I pray for all of those, Father, that are in the service tonight on the internet around the world. Reveal to each one of them as we flow together. We are all one congregation tonight, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand. The ushers will hand you that envelope. Ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, why, go ahead and receive the evening offering, please. Amen. My, my. Outstanding. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We receive it. We open our hearts and our minds to receive revelation from heaven. Words that move heaven on the earth. We thank you for it. We come before your word expectantly. And I'm asking you, sir, and I believe I receive as I pray the anointing to deliver this word tonight accurately, completely, totally, under the leadership of the Spirit of God, the great teacher of the church. Thank you for it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read several scriptures here talking about the ministry of Jesus and gathering information, knowledge, teaching from the Holy Spirit in the Bible way of receiving through His ministry. Receiving through the ministry of Jesus. Now, first of all, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, begin reading with the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy or completely paralyze. Another translation says, totally incapacitate him that had the power or the authority of death, that is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, how many things? All things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or secure them that are tempted. Now then, let's look in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Now notice there in that chapter, He is referred to as a merciful and faithful high priest. But that chapter also highlights his ministry as Lord. He is Lord. He is also the merciful and faithful high priest. Praise God. We're going to look at both those ministries. Now, from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, let's read that just a bit different, which is really the way it should be read. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and has given him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus, the Anointed One, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now then, let's go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister. Say that. A minister. Say it again. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. Now, let's go back to the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Well, actually, let's go to the 3rd chapter and the first two verses there, and then we'll go on over into the 4th. Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The same word means confession. Christ, or the anointed Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Now, in the 4th chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. For the word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, or in the sight of the Word. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Hold fast to our confession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, what therefore? Because the Word of God is more powerful, more alive than any two-edged sword. And seeing that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to move down here. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Now, we have read about two very different, very distinct ministries of the Lord Jesus. One, He is Lord. God has highly exalted Him and given Him His name, which is above every name that's named. See, that is a higher position than Adam had. Adam was immediately anointed as the highest authority in the earth. But now you remember when Jesus, just moments after He was raised from the dead, He said, all authority has been given unto Me, both in heaven and in earth. Whoa. God exalted Him and gave Him His name. And like I said in our morning session, oh, how I would love to get in and just stay right there. Praise God, I could preach on that. I don't know how long I can preach on it. I never have exhausted it, so I don't know. But we know that the Apostle Paul was quoting the 45th chapter of Isaiah when he wrote that. Now, the word translated Lord in the English Old Testament, capital L, little capital O-R-D, is translation of the personal name of the Most High God. The word God is not even in the Old Testament. That is a catch-all translation that actually came on the scene through the early German translations. It was originally a German word, Gott. And it just literally means supreme being. Well, that could mean anything. And it was translation of several different words. But that personal name of God, even in the English Bible, was not translated God. It was translated Lord. In some cases, translated Jehovah. It's what's called the Tetragrammaton. And it is, in Hebrew, spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It was introduced to Moses. God introduced Himself to the man. The highest name that any human being can have anything to do with. His own personal name. Now, this was the name in the old covenant that God made covenant with Israel and said, don't you ever use that name in vain. I give you permission to use My name, but don't you ever use it in vain. It's a very dangerous thing to do, to use that name in vain. You just don't want to be doing that. Now, they came to the place, they said, look, we just ain't going to say it at all. So they jumped out of one ditch over into the other ditch. And actually, that was not a good thing because they lost the revelation of the power of that name. And it got religiousized. So, here we are now. He gave him his name, which is above every name that is named. And in that second chapter of Philippians 9, he exalted him, gave him his name, which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow of things in, actually beings in heaven, beings in the earth, and beings under the earth. Now Adam had authority over all of the animal beings in the earth, but he did not have authority over other men. He had authority over everything that crawled, swam, creeped. He had authority over all that kingdom. But now here is Jesus. I mean, he's been given authority over all of it. And he's been given that name that is above every name. See, he inherited it. His father gave it to him. Amen. Who would just, like I said, I could just spend a lot of time here. Yeah. I wish we had time to do that, but that's not our purpose in this teaching. But it's very important for you to get this, because this is incorporated in his lordship ministry. Amen. Now, that name, see, has been given to us. Oh, yeah. That name, the very personal name of God, is incorporated in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we've been given full authority to use that name in the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And come boldly to the throne of grace. Whoa. Hallelujah. And partake of his lordship ministry. We have full authority to wear his complete armor, and should wear it. Wear it boldly. There are Christians all over the world that don't even know where their armor is. And there's a lot of them through religious ideas and religious teachings, particularly religious teachings that deny the power thereof. And yet, boy, I'll tell you one thing. Whoo! Think about it. When we get to heaven, boy, I'm telling you, we really going to have authority over the devil. What are you going to do with it? He's not there. Don't come clanking in here on them gold streets with that armor on. You know how that ain't going to do you any good there. It's right here and now.
Amen.
I mean, you know, the girls have a song on their new CD about heaven. They sang several songs in there about heaven. And the sweet by and by. Thank God for that. Whoo, I get excited over it. Because it's not an excitement that just comes from, one of these days, thank God, we're going to get out of this terrible mess. No. I get excited about it because heaven and earth are so close together. Praise God. I'm living with one foot in one and the other foot in the other one. Praise the Lord. And you ought to be doing the same thing, because we're walking in that level of authority, and we should be exercising that. But I had the Lord say this to me right at just almost 40 years ago when I first got into this ministry. He said, thank God for the sweet by and by, but I want you to go teach my people what to do about the rotten here and now. This gospel works right now. It works right now. You can walk in heaven. You can have manifestation of heaven on the earth if you learn to walk in the authority that God Almighty has given you.
Amen.
Amen. And knowing the power of that name is involved in it. Now, here's one thing I want you to see and understand. Because without this, we can't go any further. God created Adam, and immediately, the first sound that Adam ever heard was his own commission as Lord over this earth. He created him and he commissioned him right on the spot. This man never knew 1 minute. Not 1 minute on this earth did God leave him unarmed, uncommissioned. So I'm bringing this up because you need to remember, God never changes. Huh? What's the use of him changing? He is right the first time. Amen. So when you learn his way of doing things, then you know what to expect. Because he never changes. Amen. And everything he's ever done was to make life better for you. You didn't hear what I said. I said everything he's ever done was to make life better for you. So now, his way of doing things was to create and delegate. Create and delegate. Create and then delegate his own authority over the creation to the created. That's his way. So, what happened then when Jesus was raised from the dead? God immediately delegated authority to him, both in heaven and in earth. So Jesus is, like we say in Texas, Jesus is the spitting image of his Father. If you've seen one of them, you've seen the other one. Now I learned from Happy Caldwell down in Little Rock, Arkansas, that phrase, spitting image, actually originated from a phrase that was spirit and image. Now, I don't know how in Texas it got turned into spit, but anyway. Seems like we've done a lot of things like that over the years. He is exactly his Father. Now, he follows exactly his Father's same processes. Now, we need to be following Jesus' same processes. The first thing that Jesus did, all authority was given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. And the first thing he did with that authority was delegate authority over the earth to the body of Christ. Very first thing he did. All authority had been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go into all the earth. You preach the gospel to every creature. You lay hands on the sick. They will recover. You take my name and cast out the devil. He delegated that authority. Now, he delegated his lordship ministry. But that's not all. He also delegated his high priestly ministry. Turn over to the book of Revelation. And notice in the hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Notice in the first chapter, first of all. Well, let's read down into this. Verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. You notice he's no longer called the only begotten Son of God. When he came into the earth, he was the only begotten Son of God. But when he's raised from the dead, he became the firstborn of many brethren. The firstborn of many joint heirs.
Hallelujah.
Now, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So now, there's both ministries. There's the Lordship of Jesus ministry, and there's also the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We have been made unto God kings and priests with his authority. Hallelujah. I was highly impressed when Gloria and I, just the first few weeks, we were at Oral Roberts University when I enrolled up there in 67. And just a few weeks later, we began listening to Brother Kenneth Hagin's tapes. And as you've heard me say many times before, Oral Roberts was our spiritual father. And we were there. We had been attached to his ministry by the Spirit of God. And we were watching him. I was just highly moved and motivated watching him use faith. I mean, I could see it on him. And he did it on purpose. He wasn't praying anything like, well, now, you know, we never know what thou hast planned. So in all of thy infinite wisdom, oh, blah, 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 blah. No, he didn't go through all that mess. He just said, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and who am I serve, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And he got up and walked. And I thought, son, look at that. And I was sitting there watching him do that in a meeting one night. And I just locked into him, you know, and just watching him. And it dawned on me, you know what? He didn't pray them little wimpy Mickey Mouse prayers that I always heard prayed. He uses faith like a tool. He uses it on purpose. He didn't ask God if he could do that, not one time in that service tonight. I could see where, somehow or another, he had the right and the authority to go carry this out. Well, I didn't know yet how all that worked, but I could see it. But then we got a hold of Brother Hagin's tapes, and I began to see from the Word under Brother Hagin's teachings on faith and teaching on the authority of the believer and so forth, I began to see what I was watching Brother Roberts do. And man, alive, Gloria and I we're growing like spiritual weeds, man. Because we're getting the Word on it, and we have an example right in front of our eyes. Amen. And so we were really coming on strong. Well, I was listening to this tape that Brother Hagin taught on the authority that's been invested in the believer. And he said, now you have to understand where this came from. God really began to move in the very early, early moments of the 20th century. He was already moving in outstanding ways, but I'm telling you, just as sure as the 20th century rolled around, I'm telling you, spiritual things, particularly in this country, got into high gear. And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a number of different places, then 1906 Azusa Street, that actually affected the whole earth with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all those kind of things. Well, there was a rising tide, but then all of a sudden here came World War I. Well, people got so hung up fighting a war that they got to where they were not paying the kind of attention to spiritual things that they should have been. Now, if you track it down through history, you'll find that that's always been Satan's way. When there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, he would do his best to start a war to attract everybody's attention and keep them from getting over there in the things of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You track it down through the 20th century and see what I'm telling you. He did it in World War I. He did it in World War II. He had two major world wars right there in less than one biblical generation, less than 40 years' time. two major world wars. It actually, as you track it through there, and you see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, after World War II came the great divine healing revival in the United States. Remember that? Well, Korean War broke out. Right at the same time. But it didn't do as big a job on them and on us as it did in World War I, World War II. We didn't get as distracted this time. And then came, after the divine healing revival, then came a resurgence of the gifts of the Spirit. And here's a whole generation of people now that have come alive to the gifts of the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and here come the Vietnam conflict. But we didn't get caught up in it this time. We just kept our business and just kept moving. Gloria and I got plugged in there in the 60s, see. And instead of getting caught up in... And the devil liked to got me in that. I was, I had just turned 30. We were on our way to Tulsa. I had been to town to close out, with the gas company, the phone company and all that. And for all of you kids, no, you couldn't go on the internet and do it. There wasn't no internet. You had to get in your car and go down there and see somebody and close the accounts out. Boy, them was slow old days, weren't they? But that's the way you had to do it. And so I had just got through doing all that, and Gloria and I are leaving the next day. And I'm leaving town and driving back out to my mother's home where we'd been staying there after we sold our little old house and we were moving to Tulsa. It got on me so heavy. It just got on me so. I didn't know back then how to walk in the, and follow the word of the Lord until it would just get so strong on me. And I'd think, well, what is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? And he finally get through to me. And it was that way that day. I need to go back to the selective service board, draft board, and check my military status. I mean, I got out of the Army in 1958. I hadn't given them people a thought since then. Amen. Wasn't planning on it then. But this just got so heavy on me. And I thought, well, maybe I better go by there. So I went by. And the lady came up to the counter, and I told her what my name was, what my service number was, and I said, I'm going back to school. I've gone into ministry full time, and I'm going to Old Roberts University up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I wanted to come by and check with you, and check my service status and all of that. She went and got my records, and she came out there. She said, how come you came back down here? I said, I'll tell you frankly, it just got so strong on me that it's just the Lord that sent me by here to check this. She said, well, I believe it. She said, you was fixing to get a letter from us. We're going to call you back on active duty. I said, no, you're not. She said, well, we're... I said, how? I got out in 58. She said, yeah. But you got out on an open-end status. My status was 1Y, which meant we can have you anytime we want you. And they decided it was time. I said, no. Yeah, she said, within a few days you were going to get a notice from us. She said, you going into ministry full-time? I said, yeah, I'm in the ministry full-time. I'm just going back to school. She said, you don't care nothing about this going back to the military, do you? I said, no, I don't. I don't belong there. I belong at Oral Roberts University. She said, I can fix this. She took her little stamp, and she went to work on my records, man. I mean, she stamped no, no, no all over this thing. She reclassified me on every page in that document. I mean, she's banging that thing into this thing. I said, now, does this mean I don't ever have to come down here? And she said, you are done with us forever. I said, thank you very much. And I hadn't been back. Amen. I'm in the service. Thank you very much. Praise God. Now, see, he's a distractor. Well, now, back in those days, when Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, A.A. Allen, David Nunn, T.L. Osborne, all of those that God called and anointed and raised them up in the healing ministry, and it was actually ministries of manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't anybody know enough about the gifts of the Spirit to know that's what was happening. So, Jesus had to personally appear to each one of these men in order to personally teach them about divine healing, to teach them about the new birth, to teach them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, teach them about the gifts of the Spirit. He raised up people like Lester Sumrall. Lester hated God and didn't want to preach. And he was dying of TB. And it was he had a vision of the Lord. And right on his wall, I mean, this man was coughing up blood. He was within in hours of dying. Just a young man. And here was this vision on the wall. There was a cross, a Bible, and a coffin. He said, now you either preach the cross out of that Bible or you're going in that box. Now you make your choice. Well, now, he ain't going to lead you like that. But he had to lead these people like that because they didn't have anybody to teach them. The whole country had swung in that natural, religious, traditional thing. And the ones that had come up before them, like Amy McPherson and Marie Woodworth Eder and those that were walking in the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, their generation had died out. There wasn't anybody to teach these men. Jesus had to interrupt the flow in order to turn it in the direction that he desired it. And these men became the teachers of the body of Christ for the rest of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I was listening to this tape on the authority of the believer. And Brother Hagin was talking about the Lord Jesus appearing to him and talking to him about the authority that he had delegated the church. And, well, let's read from Ephesians, the first chapter. And look at this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed starting with the 16th verse. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, remember, we read it over there in the book of Ephesians. He hath highly exalted Him and given Him His name, which is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow of beings in heaven, earth, and under the earth. All right? All right, now here it is again in different words. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Now that's highly exalted, isn't it? Far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. My Lord, cancer's a name, isn't it? Well, it has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. The fullness of him. That authority, his name, none of it is complete without his body. Delegation of authority. He is Lord, raised up to sit with him far above all principalities, powers, dominions, names. Amen. Well, what about the sixth chapter of Ephesians? Verse 13. Or verse 11. No, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who's going to do the standing? You. Ain't nowhere in this book it said pray and get and God will get the devil off of you. It's not in there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now you remember, he has been exalted far above all principalities, all powers, all rulers. That's what dominion means. All rulers. Then gave him to be the head over the body, which is his fullness. My, my, my. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and so forth and so on. So that authority, that vast authority, has been delegated to the body of Christ. Well, I was listening to that tape, as I was saying, and Brother Hagin was giving account of the vision that Jesus had come to him. And he said it was an open vision. He could see him. He could talk to him. He could hear him. And he's telling him these very scriptures right here. And about the delegation of this awesome authority in his name to the body of Christ. And he's pointing all that out. Now he said while Jesus was standing there face to face with him, talking to him and teaching him concerning the authority of the believer, concerning this awesome power and authority that he had invested in every born again child of God. He said, suddenly, this little impish looking demon come running up there between Jesus and Brother Hagin and went to jumping up and down, swinging his arms like that, and went to hollering, yakety yakety yak, yakety yakety yak, yakety yakety yak, in this shrill, high pitched, whiny kind of a voice. And he said he started putting off some kind of black looking, smoke looking kind of a smoke screen, hollering, yakety yakety yak, yakety yakety yak. And he said, I could hear that Jesus was talking, but I couldn't hear anything he was saying. And he said, I'm trying to see him. And he said, I thought, why don't he do something about this thing? I know he knows I need to hear this. I need to know that what he's talking about, and I can't understand him. Yaggity, 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 yagg finally made Brother Hagin mad. And he said, shut up and get out of here. And he said, that little dark cloud just went away. And away he ran just fast as he could go.
Amen.
Now listen to what Jesus said. It shook Brother Hagin up and it shook me up. He said, I can just hear that tape right now. He said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. Brother Hagin said, what? He said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. No, he said, Lord, I don't care if I am seeing you just as plain and hearing your voice. You said, if I hadn't done something about that, you wouldn't. No, he said, I said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. No, he said, Lord, I didn't hear that right. That's crosswise of everything I ever knew. You said, if I hadn't done something about that, you wouldn't, not that you couldn't. And the Lord said again, no, I said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. Why? Because he has delegated all of the authority in the earth over all principalities, all powers, all rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenly places. That's not in the heaven where God is. Ain't no wicked spirits up there. That's talking about this atmospheric heavens here that envelop the earth. He has delegated all that to the body of Christ. Where is his name today? What is his name doing today? Is his name and all this authority being executed in heaven? No, the Bible said his name has been given among men. There is no other name among men whereby men are saved. You remember reading that in the book of Acts? Sure. It's been delegated to the body of Christ. In full.
Amen.
Not in portion. In full.
Amen.
Now, let me remind you of the commandment of the church. Now, you ask most believers, what is the commandment that has been given the body of Christ? Well, you'll get this answer 99 9/10% of the time. It will be, well, we're supposed to love one another. Well, basically, that's true. But that's not the way that commandment is worded. And besides that, if you believe that's what the commandment, why are you not doing it? Now, when you don't walk in that commandment, you violate and short circuit the power of the name in your life. And of course, you just open the door and let the devil just run over you then. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, that commandment is spelled out word for word. And it is, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another as he gave commandment. Well, then, how did he give commandment? Well, you go back to the book of Matthew, and he gave commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, there you have spelled out the commandment from on high to the body of Christ. And the first portion of that commandment is believe on the name of his son. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
That authority has been delegated to the body of Christ. Now, let me give you some guidelines on the difference between the high priestly ministry and the lordship ministry. He is Lord in that, in awesome, awesome combat. Combat beyond anything that the human mind has ever conceived. Only those that witnessed it. Only those Old Testament saints that witnessed it in the very bowels of this earth have any concept or understanding of it. When he was hanging on the cross and the manifestation of his being made sin for us began to manifest in his body. And the scripture says in the 52nd chapter of the book of Isaiah that he was so marred. Well, other translations say he was so twisted and deformed out of all form until he no longer resembled a man. Well, now that didn't happen to those other two guys hanging there on those other crosses. Now you know what shook that centurion executioner up. So now you remember in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, "We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with those wounds and bruises, we are healed."
Amen.
So now that centurion, now put yourself in his place. He is captain of the guard, captain of the detail that was the high executioner. They executed a lot of people, but this guy is captain of the guard. So this was a very, very important prisoner, and he was personally there. Well, now, don't you know he'd been hearing the talk among the Jews? When I say the Jews, I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about the hierarchy, religious, Roman-appointed head of the Sanhedrin. Yeah, they were Jews, but they weren't there because God appointed them. They were there because Rome had appointed them. Highly religious people. They had been discussing, yeah, he blasphemed claiming to be equal with God, and this is the result. And they were mocking, saying, you know, all that. Well, let him get himself down. Let him call for Elijah. He said he's going to do that. And all that kind of stuff. Well, that centurion's hearing that. And then he sees this manifestation. Well, no wonder he said, that must be the Son of God. Or in other words, only God could have done that. What they said must be true, because that couldn't even happen to a man. Well, now, all they saw was the outward manifestation. They didn't see the big part. Because when his spirit left his body and he went into hell itself, there he suffered 3 days and three nights in the very bottom of the pit. He suffered all sin, all sickness, all disease, all of the curse, all of it. No human being has ever suffered all of sin but him. All of it. And in that horribly defeated, passionately suffering state, the only thing they couldn't stop in him was praise. He praised God throughout the whole ordeal. He locked into it. In fact, he was into it before he ever left his body on that cross. That's what you hear from him in the 22nd Psalm. They heard words out of that psalm. He was already locked into that psalm before he gave up his spirit. And part of that psalm is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's already locked into that. He locked onto the word and didn't turn loose. Now, in the very bowels of the earth, open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. In the very pit, in the very lowest part of hell itself, this Jesus and you can find the words. Well, hold your place there in the book of Colossians because we want to read that. But I want you to see in the book of Hebrews, I want you to see what God said when he raised him from the dead. See, we have the very words that God said when he created Adam, and we have the very words that he said when Jesus was reborn. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things, upholding all things by the word of his power. My. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and again he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. God shouted that across the borders of time and into the realm of darkness and penetrated the bowels of this earth and into the very pit of hell where this emaciated, suffering, torn and ripped spirit by all sin, all sickness, all disease, right in the very bowels of the earth. Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire? But under the sun, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. Yes. Now, Jesus is in the pit of hell, suffering there. Satan thought he had him. I mean, he thought he had him. He was under the impression that he finally got him, that he had somehow blasphemed God and God turned his back on him. See, this was a mystery hidden in God and hidden in Jesus. My God, and the devil didn't know nothing about it. Scripture said, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. I guess not. And he lured them into the very bowels of this earth. He got them all in there. Now, nobody had ever gone into hell and got out. Huh? Once death put you in there, nobody at that time had gone up into heaven. The Old Testament saints were in a protected upper region of the area of Sheol, called the bosom of Abraham or paradise. And there was a gulf between the two of them that those up there couldn't go down there and those down there couldn't go up there. Nobody up there wanted to go down there. You remember the man that Jesus was talking about, the rich man and Lazarus? And he said the rich man lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham! Well, he was in the lower part. He was suffering in that low part. That's where Jesus was, suffering the penalty of the curse. Bore it into that pit. But that got him in there. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning had laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands, and they'll perish, but you remain, and they'll wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture you will fold them up, and they'll be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. Now those words went into the pit of this earth and struck the spirit of the man of sorrow, the man that bore our sin, bore defeat for us. But oh, it didn't leave him there. Amen.
Amen.
Now turn back over there to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. In verse 13. And you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or the note that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled, defeated, destroyed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Woo! Glory to God. Right there in the pit of hell itself. The first man, M-A-N man,
hallelujah,
ever to be born from sin to righteousness, from death to life.
Hallelujah.
And he was born again in the bowels of hell. It can't get any more dangerous. It can't get any worse. He rose up. And one man, without any assistance from anybody, by himself, the scripture says, whipped every devil, every demon. He stripped the devil, Satan himself. He took away from him the keys of hell. He took away the power of death. And he put him under his feet. And that wasn't the end of it. He led captivity captive. He moved from there, out of that horrible place with demons lying around everywhere. Went right through the realm of the bosom of Abraham. And gathered up those old covenant saints. They all got born again watching him whip the devil. Amen. They were in there on a promise. And he fulfilled it. Oh, they saw it happen. They saw him. They saw him bear sin. They saw him be mutilated and punished and whipped. But they saw him come out on the living word of the Almighty God. And they saw what a born again man would actually be. And they left out of there in his image. Don't you know David was throwing an absolute wall-eyed fit? Huh? Don't you know he is screaming and hollering? A good friend, I preached this one time in a message called What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. And he's a cowboy, he's a rodeo cowboy, professional. And he got off an airliner, and he was walking from the airline gate to the, you know, where you go through to the luggage compartment. This is back during the days when you could actually walk through there. And he had his saddle and everything, you know, had it all wrapped and it was in storage. And he came out of the air off the airplane, picked that saddle up, and he had that cassette player earphone in his ear. Couldn't anybody else hear what he's listening to? And I got right to that place where we've just been for the last few minutes, and I was describing Satan's defeat. And it got to that cowboy so bad, he started hollering, walking down in that airport, and he's hollering at the top of his lungs, "Put it on him, Jesus! Put it on him! Put it on him! Put it on him!" Well, they didn't know what was the matter with him. And then he kind of came to himself, you know, and he realized what he'd been doing. He said, "I don't care what they thought. My God," he said, "that's my victory. That's my victory he wrought that day. That's my victory over hell. That's my victory. I'm a born again man. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I have the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Now I'm preaching the gospel to you. Religion don't have nothing to do with that. But that's what we've read over there in the book of Ephesians. What he wrought for us who believe. The working of his mighty power when he raised him from the dead. And called us to be his fulfillment. Now, what does that mean? That means without us, there wasn't no reason for him to go through all that. Huh. He didn't do that for himself. He already had authority over the devil. He did it for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'll close it with this. I introduced this to you, and then we'll take it up here tomorrow. He is Lord over sin. We just found that out. Why? Because he defeated it in awesome combat. And he's been given the name of the victor. Now, he is the high priest over salvation. Can you see the difference between the lordship ministry and his high priestly ministry? He is our high priest. He has been called, anointed, and appointed as high priest over our words. I have to introduce this to you. The Lord won't let me get away without it. From the Gospel of John, let me show you that. We talk much about the confession of faith, and we should. Now, do you remember, those of you that were here this morning, and you heard Gloria read from the book of Habakkuk? Yes. And Habakkuk cried out to the Lord, and he said, "How long am I going to continue to cry out to you, and you don't hear?" What did the Lord tell him? As long as you're not doing it by faith, that's how long you're going to continue to cry out.
Amen.
See? It's not that he doesn't want to hear you. But he's been appointed by God in a high priestly ministry of vast authority and power. And there are certain things in that ministry that he's called to do. Now, when we try to get him to do things that are outside the boundaries, outside his own legal calling, He's not going to jump the traces and get out there with you just because you're hurting. He's already given you his word. That's the reason he said to Habakkuk, write down the vision so people can run with it. And so they don't have to cry out and cry out and me not hear. You have the word, so cry the word. Don't just cry out of your feelings. Now, John chapter 8. I need to show you this. Now, this is in the earthly ministry of Jesus, but the pattern is exactly the same. Now, I want you to follow through this because this is the way it works. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, look at the 28th verse. Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Now look, but as my Father has taught me, I speak. As my Father taught me, I speak. Now open your ears up and hear what he's saying. As my Father taught me, or what I have learned from his word is what I say. His words are in my mouth. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say it. He said that in another place. He said, I don't do anything but what I first see my Father do that. Are you following now? This is a picture of his high priestly ministry. Now notice what he said. Then Jesus, he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, you will be what? My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can you see his ministry there? Now, listen again. I only say my Father's words. Then our off-page narrator says, while he spoke those words, many of them believed on him. So now he is speaking now to those that have connected with him. Huh? I'm going to go through it again. I only speak what my Father has said. I only speak God's word to me. You continue in the words that I speak to you, and I only speak the words that God said to me. So I'm only saying to you what God has already said. Now, come on now. I am speaking to you only those words which God said. Now, if you will continue in the words that I speak to you that are only the words which God spoke to me, so I am the bridge between God and you. I'm hearing his word and I'm telling it to you. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now we're almost there. This is the functioning of his high priestly ministry. All right? I only speak the words that my Father has spoken to me. If you will keep listening to the words that the Father has spoken to me, I've not said anything else. Only that which he has said am I saying to you. And you, if you will continue, if you'll stay with me, if you keep listening, if you'll put these words first place in your life, they're not my words. They're the words that my Father spoke to me. I am your minister. Huh? If you will continue, if you'll stay with me, if you listen to the words that I speak to you, that the Father spoke to me, I only speak the words that he spoke. I am speaking to you the word of God Almighty. If you'll stay with me, if you will listen to those words, if you will act on those words, I will see to it that that word that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you just as free as I am. Now that's his high priestly ministry. That's what he's doing today. That's what he's done in here tonight. By the authority of his name and by the help and by the ministry of the Holy Ghost, I have done my very utmost to speak to you the words, only the words. I didn't speak to you tonight from any other source. I'm speaking to you tonight as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ under his lordship and ministry. I am speaking to you the words that I have heard from him. And if you will continue in the words that I have spoken to you, that I have heard from him, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you just as free as I am, and the truth will make us both just as free as he is. Because it is the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody get up and shout amen. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. This book. This is not a book about somebody. This book is somebody. This is the priesthood, the lordship, and the everlasting command of the commander in chief of heaven and earth, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, Son of the living God, Lord of all. And it'll work anywhere, anytime anybody will put it to work. And it'll work on the same level it worked for Jesus in the pit of hell. It'll work anywhere, anytime. And you hath he raised up together with him and made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Now you can see why our whining and crying and carrying on. Oh, God, I don't know why you let this come on me. Oh, God, I'm just so unworthy. I know I'm a nobody. Oh, I know I haven't been worth anything to the kingdom of heaven. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Year after year after year after year after year. And you'll hear yourself crying out the same thing. How long before you hear me and get me out of this mess? Just as long as you continue that. Why? You've gotten outside the confines of his ministry. He's not going to jump out there and get out there with you on that. Now, there are certain things that happen in people's lives just because he's a merciful high priest. And people will, you know, get over in there and do their best to minister to you. Thing of it is, he'll send people. He'll fill the television up with preachers of faith. He'll send people all over the country. He'll send people to have meetings. There are meetings going on all the time. It's on the internet. It's on television. It's all over the place. And you crying and squalling and going on about it. And one of these days you're going to get up before God and you're going to have to stand judgment. You're going to say, well, I just tell you, I don't know why you left me in that place. You didn't. You healed, Brother and Sister Copeland. You healed this. You healed that. But you wouldn't heal me. He's just going to stand there and look at you. Where were you on the night of August the 20th? 2007. And then it'll flash across a screen right in front of you. I went to see Die Hard 3. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. I was at a Little League game. And this has been going on a long time.
Okay, come on.
Long time. Ain't a soul in this room, including me and you and all the rest of it, that's not guilty of this in some form or another. But I'm going to tell you something. Them old days are gone. There's a new breed of believer that has come off of the benches. I'm telling you, praise God. There's a new batch that just absolutely can't get enough of it and refuse to take anything off of the devil and refuse to take any sickness, any disease by the Lord God Almighty, Mr. Devil. You're out of here. You're not putting this on me or my family any longer. Amen, 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 amen. Woo, glory be to God. Say it out loud. I'm a believer.
I
am not a doubter.
I am a believer.
I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
He's my Lord.
He's my high priest.
He's my deliverer.
He is my God.
He is my God.
I am under him.
A priest.
Under God.
I am under him.
A Lord of authority.
Over all principalities and power.
Well, give the Lord another praise shout. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Anyone in here tonight say, Brother Copeland, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I want him. And I want in this, I want to receive him as my Savior. In his name, I want to be part of this family. Will you lead me in prayer? I would be honored to. There may be those of you that have known the Lord, but you've gotten out of Father's house and gotten back out there in the world again. But it's time for you to come back home to Jesus. Time for you to get all of that sin out of you and off of you. Praise God. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. And those of you that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, supernatural prayer language, and you want that, it's for you. You can have it, and you can have it now. If you come under any one of those three categories, wherever you are, in this entire building, anywhere, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you just to step out from where you are right now and just come stand right down in front of me. I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'll lead you in all three segments of that prayer. So just come on down here. Praise the Lord. Just come running. Hallelujah. Sing it, Lynn.
I surrender all.
Come on. Yeah, just come on. Praise God. Jesus did all this so you could have it. He did all of this so you could be victorious. He did all this so you could walk in faith. So you could be healed and well and strong in the Lord. So you could have a strong prayer life. So you could have a wonderful family. Praise God. So you can have victory in this life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Woo, woo. Amen.
Precious Savior, I surrender all.
Just come on, come on, man. There's more coming. Sing it again.
I surrender.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's some more coming from back there. Praise the Lord. Come on. Still some come singing.
I surrender.
Anyone else? We'll wait on you.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Well, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew or the Greek or the white and the black and the brown and the red. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Now, Jesus went through all of that. It's a terribly difficult, terribly hard thing. But there's one thing he couldn't and he wouldn't do. He can't pray your prayer. That's our part. Now, once we pray that prayer, you know, it says he is the high priest over our confession. He is, his ministry is to take words that you speak by faith and see to it that they come to pass. That's his part. Our part is to speak them from the heart. And all of those things that he did, once you speak it from your heart, all of that then comes into operation, and all of the awesomeness of both heaven and earth begin to happen and take place in your spirit, because all of heaven was just waiting to hear you say amen. Hallelujah. I remember the night I got saved on November the 2nd, 1962, just a little before 8 o'clock in the evening. I'd just come home from a trip I had just flown. Gloria was in the kitchen. Our little room just filled up with the presence of God. And I said, oh God, oh God. I heard the voice of my Sunday school teacher when I was 12 years old. It was still down on the inside of me. I heard it and I said out loud, that's old Lady Taggart. I wasn't being disrespectful. All us boys called her that. She was old. But we all loved her so that in that Baptist Sunday school, if they wanted to promote us, they had to promote Ms. Taggart, because we wouldn't go without her. And she was the only one that could ride herd on all of us. So I heard her voice say, boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I thought, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it. But I don't know what else to do. Well, see, those words... that was the only thing that was standing in my way. Jesus had done the rest of it. And so I just said it. Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, and he did. Much to my surprise, he did. Amen. And I immediately called Gloria in there and stumbled and staggered around for a little while trying to tell her what had just happened to me. Come to find out the same thing had happened to her about 2-3 weeks before. 2 weeks before. I didn't know it. She didn't know how to tell me either. And that's what's going to happen to you tonight. Whether it's receiving him as Lord and Savior or receiving him as the high priest of your return. Amen. The one who forgives and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Or his ministry as high priest and baptizer in the Holy Ghost. That's part of his ministry. And here again, he said, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask you. It's your job to ask. He'll take it from there. So put one hand over your heart, just indicating you're praying out of your heart and you mean business, and lift the other one up towards heaven. Pray this out loud enough you can hear it with your own ears. Everyone in the congregation, let's pray it out loud also. Oh God in heaven, I believe with all my heart, Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and all he stands for. I renounce the past. Jesus, you are now my future. And in you, my future is bright. Fill me, sir, with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive him now. I receive my supernatural prayer language. I receive my praise language. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Satan, I take authority over you. I cast you out of my life. Take your hand off. Get out. Take your hand off of my spirit, off my mind, off my body, off of my family, my finances, everything that I have. It no longer belongs to you in any form. Jesus is my Lord. I serve him.
In Jesus' name, amen. Now just lift both hands and give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There's healing all over the congregation right now. The power of God's healing mercy is moving all over the congregation. Everybody that needs it, just receive healing from your body right now. Oh, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Begin to praise and worship the Lord. Begin to praise and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, can you see that precious little baby that she's holding right here in front of me? That just little doll. And you look at her and say, oh, isn't she just darling? But think about her past. Her past. She ain't got any past. She's a newborn. Amen. She got more past than you do. How old is that baby? 11 months? She got 11 months more past than you got. Your past ended 30 seconds ago. I will quote to you the words of your heavenly Father in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I am He who blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake. I will remember them no more. Now you put me in remembrance that you might live. Amen. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have no past. So don't bring it up to God. Amen. Give the Lord another praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. See that fine-looking young preacher there with his Bible in his hand? He is a minister of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We have prepared a very special place for you. I have some things there that I want to give you. There are people that are waiting for you. They're wanting to pray with you. They're wanting to get their hands on you and pray with you and pray for you. So if you would, go spend a few minutes in there or as long as you want to, but follow that young preacher to that room of prayer at that place of ministry. Praise the Lord. And let everyone give the Lord a big praise as they go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. These are the days prophesied by prophets of old. These are the days that look so far distant and way in the future by generations that have gone by. These are the days that I have longed for as your Lord and your Savior. These are the last days. These are the times of the end. You're the generation that will do final hours of combat in the spirit and wrought victory after victory after victory that your ancestors before you could see dimly in the realm of the spirit. but it is not dim to you. You are walking in that light. You are walking as that generation, and they've gone before you, and they've sown seed for you, and they have believed for you, and they're pulling for you right now. So rise up in words of faith and words of joy, and fill your mouth with victory. Fill your hand with my word. Fill your life with faith. Fill up on my things and my word, and my God, my God, my God shall overwhelm and overthrow all of the opponents that will array themselves against you. For all of them know that they have to bow their knee. And they understand more than you know that you are the generation that will wrought victory over them, and you will run roughshod over them. So run, don't walk, run over your enemy and victoriously give your Lord praise, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Say it again. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I'm victorious in Jesus.
He's victorious in me.
He's victorious.